Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 54 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Today I have three very special guests with me on this program. I have a longtime friend, Rick Wiles. He's the host of True News Radio. And I have two other friends with me. One recently has been on my program, Eric Entz. And I have another friend that recently moved to Panama. His name is David Williams. And today we're going to discuss some things that I believe the Lord wants to use to encourage the listeners about the rewards that come through obedience. But there's a price that we all must pay of obedience. And I believe when the Lord gave us his call, and he said, follow me, there were some requirements, and they're listed in chapter 14 of Luke, that we couldn't love anybody more than him, including our own life. We had to pick up our cross and follow him. That means we had to die to ourselves, and we had to forsake all. There's nothing that could stand in the way of our obedience to him. And once we did make that declaration and that desire of our heart to follow him, there would be a narrow road. And I believe it's not just a narrow road, but it's a narrowing road. That as the longer we walk down this road, there's more that's required out of us. There's more obedience. And the road actually gets narrower and more restrictive. And that restrictive nature is that we no longer live for ourselves. And there's less of us inside of us as there's more of him. And this obedience does have a price. And I know for my family and myself, when we came to Panama, it came at a great price. It came at a price of leaving our comfort zone, leaving our surroundings, leaving our friends, our family, our stuff, in order to follow him. But the rewards that have happened in my life are beyond anything I could have ever comprehended or imagined. And this is just the beginning, because God has more in store, and he has more in store for each one of you that are listening today. That there is a price, but there is a reward. And that's kind of the topic that I feel like the Lord has put on my heart with these three great men of God that have come here to the studio today to share essentially what the Lord has done in their life as a result of their obedience. And that the doors have opened that only would have been opened through their obedience. And the Lord said something to me a number of years ago, as he taught me with a very incredible lesson that was really supernatural. But he said, obedience is the key. And he said, through disobedience, I'll take away your keys. And there's a price of disobedience. And there are keys that are removed from our life, places of authority, places of access, through our disobedience. So I just want to open up here. I want to introduce a great friend of mine. We've known each other for about 15 years, Rick Wiles. And thanks for joining us on the program today, Rick.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure to be here. And I'm looking at the words of Jesus, the book of John, the gospel according to John. And Jesus said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And then he said, if anybody loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So it's obedience. Revelation says Jesus is coming back for those who keep the commandments of God. It's all about obedience and trust. You know, the old hymn, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You think those old Christians, maybe they knew something that we have forgotten? You must trust and obey the Lord.
Well, truth is, you won't really obey unless you trust.
That's right.
Because that's where the rubber meets the road. You say you trust, but if you don't obey, you really don't trust.
And isn't this the heart of what God, our Heavenly Father, is desiring from us? And that is, he desires to be believed. Do you believe him? Do you believe his word? When he says something, do you believe it's true? That is the primary thing in our Heavenly Father. He desires to know, do you believe him? And when we trust him, when we have faith in him, it is evidence that we believe him. we know who he is, what he is. We know that he cannot lie. We know that he sends his word out and performs what it says it will do. It will not come back void. We have that confidence in our heart. His word is true because he is truth. He cannot lie. And so that's everything that our Heavenly Father is doing with us throughout our lives is to build that confidence in us that we believe him. And so we go through trials and tribulations. We go through all kinds of experiences. And his Father working in us to trust him. And when we trust him, we obey him.
And the enemy's constantly working against us trusting him by lying to us. And we have to choose whether we're going to believe a lie or believe the truth. And it's interesting that a lot of what's happening in the world today is really a test of, do you really believe? But I believe what the Lord has been saying to me, if you reject the truth will reject you. And he is the ultimate truth with a capital T. So we have to receive the truth, even though it may be very difficult at times. And the word of the Lord, when you look through the prophets of old, they were difficult truths. And many people perished because they would not believe the truth, but they believed the lie, and they died in their sins. They were judged amongst the nations because they would not believe the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is coming through you today, clearly, and has been for 15 years, that America needs to repent. And unless it repents, that God is going to judge America. And people have the choice now, do I believe the word of the Lord, just like Ezekiel, Jeremiah were preaching in the days of old, or will I believe a lie? Surely God will not judge us. We are a Christian nation. We do all these wonderful things. God surely cannot judge us. I mean, this is what the children of Israel believe. We're God's children. God would not never judge us. We're his child. But look what happened, according to the prophets. So here we are today. You've been speaking the word of the Lord as the Lord's spoken to you. Just like Ezekiel had to eat the scroll, he had to receive it for his own life before he could deliver the word. Now the prophets today are doing the same thing. We're having to receive the word of the Lord. We have to repent as the Lord has convicted us of our own sin, that we can deliver the message of what he's speaking.
That's right. One time I was in visiting a large Southern Baptist church in Texas, and the pastor was awesome, and he was fiery, and he was preaching the word, and he was just burning with fire, and he was preaching on the homosexual movement coming into America. This was a number of years ago, before it became this rampant, and he was warning. They're going to try to do these things to the nation. And he didn't spare anything. He was telling the congregation, this must be stopped. But he didn't tell them what was going to happen if the church didn't stop it. And after the service, I commended him on his courage. I commended him on his willingness to tackle a very controversial subject, and that he didn't compromise or waver. But I gently said, Pastor, this is one thing. You did not tell your congregation what will happen if the church in America does not rise up and stop this wave of wickedness in this homosexual movement. And he just stared at me. And I said, I was holding my Bible, and I said, Pastor, I know you know this Bible. You could quote it without opening the pages. You know what's in this Bible. And he just stared at me, and I said, you have to tell the people. If you disobey, this is what the word says will happen. That's where so many people are missing it right now. They know what the Bible says, but they can't come out and say the words. If this nation or this person continues on this path, this is what the word says happens.
And this is the truth that many pastors don't want to tell, the whole truth. This is the other side of the coin, that there is a judgment that comes as a result of disobedience and rebellion, that God will hold us accountable. And especially, you know, I've been reading Ezekiel a lot, and God, it says in Ezekiel that he said, begin at my house. When judgment finally came across the four ends of the earth, or far ends of the land. It said an end is coming in chapter 7. And then he said, he explains why. He said, because they say in their heart, God sees not. In other words, God does not see my sin. I can hide my sin. They do all things in the dark. And so this is where many people in their own individual lives and even as a nation has come to the point where they don't really believe God sees, so they feel like they can get away with their sin. And see, there's a lack of repentance in God's people. So God's people are supposed to be the example to follow. So when the judgment comes, he begins with his own children as the example that I'm going to discipline my own children and judge them. And this is where we are now, is that we have to, God's calling us as a people to repent. It says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. This is all about my people now. And this is where many people now think, well, certainly I'm God's people. I don't need to repent. Repent from what? Well, repent from viewing things on the internet you shouldn't view. You know, it says that in Ezekiel also says that that the people actually felt like there is no judgment that's going to come near them. But it will come. It will come. And God's word is true. Eric, I wanted you to just share a little bit about the price that you have paid in your own life. There's been many testimonies that you've shared with me of the cost of obedience. It's cost you a career. And just share a little bit about, but the rewards that come about the refining process that we go through during that time of obedience that God develops character in us that he can use later in what he wants to do after, you know, we go through the process.
You know, I think obedience translates into action. We have to respond to God and demonstrate, not just talk about what we believe is true. I know, you know, a lot of people hear the message of warning and they hear and they say they believe it, but then they do nothing about it. And so there's a disconnect somewhere. It's really, they're really saying, I don't really believe it, is what their actions are demonstrating. Because I've realized in the Christian life, in the Christian church in America, talk is cheap.
They're entertained by it.
Exactly. And so it doesn't matter what I say is true in my life. My actions demonstrate what I believe is true in my life, or what I don't believe is true. So it's a matter of walking out our faith. You know, faith without works is dead. We have to demonstrate the truth in our life. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So there has to be a walking out of the truth in our life. And our actions prove what is true, not our words. And so for me, the Lord called me to take a stand. I was a Marine helicopter pilot, officer in the Marine Corps, and God called me to take a stand that cost me my career. And when the Lord first told me what I needed to do to obey him, I didn't want to receive it, because all I could think about was the cost involved the price involved in obeying God. I immediately discounted it. And the other thing is God had done miraculous things to get me to where I was at. He had given me favor. God was in what I was doing. He is the one that brought me there. So I tried to reason in my mind, why would the Lord have me throw this all away? The things that he's been in, the things that he did, why would he have me throw these things away? It didn't make any sense to me. And the bottom line, what it came to, I tried to justify in every way in my mind why God would have me do what he was telling me to do. And it strictly came down to obedience. The Lord told me one day, he said, I've taught you to know my voice. I've taught you to know my leading, to discern my spirit. And it's enough for you to just obey me. And so that's what it came down to, is strictly obedience. And how often in our life do we, when we can benefit from something, do we obey God? We can do that without even praying most of the time. But then when a hard thing comes, when God challenges us with something to where we will have to pay a price for it and give something up, then we can justify in our mind and say, well, is that the Lord? Is he really saying that? And we can come up with all kinds of things, reasons not to obey God, because our flesh is more concerned about the price we're going to pay than obeying God. But in the end, it took me about 6 months to come to the point of complete surrender with this stand that God was calling me to take. And in the end, it did cost me my career as a pilot, as an officer. And I even went to the brig in the Marine Corps in obedience to God's command in my life. So there was a great price to pay. But in the midst of it, the Lord gave me joy that I had never experienced in my life. The Lord gave me peace. It was one of the most joyful times I've ever had in my life because God promised me. I asked him one night before I came to the point of surrender. I said, Lord, how are you going to be seen in this? Because I don't even completely understand it. I'm just obeying you. And the Lord said, I'll be seen by the peace that I give you. And it was what we read about in God's word. It's a peace that passes all understanding. And I experienced it. And the Lord gave me the resolute determination to not waver. And I was set on a course from that moment. And I did not deviate. And I trusted in the Lord. And he gave me everything I needed to walk it out and more. I felt, you know, the Bible talks about the fountains of living water bubbling up inside of us. I literally felt like I was a fountain pouring over with God's love, with his peace, with his joy in the midst of the storm. And see, this is one of the truths the Lord gave me. It's we look for our circumstances change to get to receive peace. We look for, if I can only get out of this, if I can only, you know, get out of America or whatever it may be. But the Lord is saying right now, I want you to look to me for your peace. I want you to look to me for your joy. The reality is his peace. It's not the absence of the difficulties. It's not the absence of the storms in our life, but it's the presence of God with you in the midst of your storm. That is true peace. And see, not to say that God won't tell us to do certain things that will have us go someplace and move someplace, but the reality is that we're to seek him for what we need, not necessarily a change of our circumstances. And that was kind of the point I'm trying to get across.
Awesome. And what I have found is that the Lord, throughout our walk, gives us numerous opportunities to obey him. Sometimes it's the most small thing, and he'll just put conviction there and say, this is what I want you to do. Sometimes it's a really big thing, like your situation in the Marine Corps. I mean, I can remember many years ago, the Holy Spirit told me, stop drinking Coca-Colas and Pepsis. All right. I heard it as clear as anything, and it stayed for months and months and months. And finally, I made that decision, and I said, I don't understand why, but I make a vow today. I'll never drink another Coca-Cola or Pepsi. And I don't know, 13, 14, 15, I had lost track 15 years ago. I don't know, but it was an issue. The Lord was saying, now maybe he was showing me, hey, if you keep drinking these Cokes, it's going to cause physical ailment in your body. Or maybe he was just saying, I'm just putting this demand on you. I want to see if you obey. But there are other times he gave me really heavy commandments to do something that cost me. I was thinking of one when I was in my early 30s. I was working for Pat Robertson at CBN in Virginia Beach. And we don't have time to go into detail, but the enemy was trying to bring a compromise into the ministry. That's nothing new. Every church, every ministry, it happens all the time. The enemy's always trying to get into that ministry. And the Lord gave me a commandment to speak a prophetic word to Pat Robertson and his son, warning them of how the enemy was trying to get into the ministry. And I wrestled with this for quite some time because I knew this is really heavy. Okay, this was a very heavy word. And I'm going to the very top, you know. And I'm young. At that time, I was a young guy in my 30s. And here, the Lord's telling me, deliver this message to Pat Robertson and his son. Well, let me tell you, I was in Atlanta, Georgia. This is, I want to say, 1985, something like that. I was in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm driving down the street, and I see this big church. And I go, that looks like Charles Stanley's church, First Baptist. Charles Stanley was president of the Southern Baptist Convention that year. And I thought, I'm going to go in there and ask him for some advice. It's Charles Stanley, president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And here I am, this little nobody, little marketing guy from CBN you know. And so I parked the car and went into this big church and I walked up to the executive office and I asked the secretary, I said, I need to see Dr. Stanley. And she's like, yeah, you and 2 billion other people, you know. And I said, no, I really need to see him. And she goes, it's impossible. Do you have an appointment? I said, no, I don't have an appointment. I said, I got an issue. I got to have advice right now. And she says, young man, Dr. Stanley has a long, long list of appointments. There's no way he's going to see you this month, all right? Just then, these big wooden doors opened up. I still see it. I still hear it. These big wooden doors opened up, and that voice, that awesome Georgia Southern voice said, young man, what do you need? I looked up, and it was Charles Stanley. I said, Dr. Stanley, I need advice. And he looked at his secretary, and he said, let him in. And she looked at me like, you little twerp, I don't know how you pulled this off, you know? And so I went in the door into Charles Stanley's office with him. He's a big, tall guy. He really is a tall man. And I sat down with him, and I told him the whole story. And he gave me 2 hours, 2 hours listening and talking to me. But these are the words, the last words he said to me. He leaned up in that, you know, awesome Georgia draw. He said, young man, you already know what you have to do. And I just looked at him. I'm looking eyeball to eyeball with Charles Stanley. He said, you must obey the Lord. And I gulped. And I said, yes, sir. And then he laid his hand on my shoulder and he said, young man, it's going to cost you dearly. And he escorted me to the door. Wow. He said, you're going to have to obey the Lord. It's going to cost you dearly. It did.
Wow.
What I'm trying to say is, all through my life, I can look back at example after example, experience after experience where God said, will you obey me? At the sum of our life, the sum of our walk with God is it's all of these experiences added up. And God says, you were faithful then. You were faithful then. At this time, you missed it. You didn't obey me. But on this other one, you did. You know. And so all through our life, he's building these experiences. Will we obey him?
Yes.
And every time we obey him, and every time the cost is expensive to our life, the blessings are greater.
That's right.
He elevates us. He promotes us. He blesses us. But it's all from obedience. It's not just one thing. It's a series of things.
It's a series of things. And this is what develops us as a trustable believer. Because he's wanting to do more with us, but will we pass? Have we passed the first test to be able to go on to the next one? And I believe just like Judas, it said that Jesus gave him the bag, but he dipped his hand in the bag. I believe... You know, I asked the Lord once, I said, Lord, why did you give Judas the bag? I mean, I thought you'd give good stewards a position of responsibility. Why did you do that? And I believe what the Lord said to me was, I did that. I gave him the bag to deal with his heart. That every time he dipped his hand into the bag, I could deal with his heart, that it wasn't right with me. And I was just in hopes that he would pass the pop tests along the way, that when it came to his final exam, 3 years later, that he would pass his final exam. But he failed the pop tests along the way, so he had no choice, but he had to fail the final exam because he did not strengthen himself along the way. And I believe this is what the Lord puts these tests in front of us, is to strengthen us for the next test. It helps us to fortify us with this one test that we're having of obedience that we can pass the next test. And this is why God does this with us, is to strengthen us, that we will be strong all the way to the end. David, I want to... you to kind of share a little bit from your heart of your experiences, because I know you as a great man of God, and I just love to listen to you speak, because there's nothing but wisdom that rolls off your tongue. So just share a little bit with us. We have about probably 3 minutes remaining, 3 or 4 minutes, but just share a little bit about some of the experiences you've had of what it's cost you just to obey God, and what it really means to you. Of what that really means as far as the to obey the Lord.
Well, you know, not to play off the question or diminish it by any means, because it's an important question, but I would have to echo what the scriptures say, and that I don't consider that our present sufferings are worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. And you know, I think that's a word for the hour for all of us is to consider that the time is short. and that we need to set our sights on things above and not things below. And even as important as it is to talk about the truth of the literal destruction of the United States of America because of its wickedness, you know, many of us are speaking about that right now. You know, we need to ask ourselves as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what if that were not to happen? What if the economy were to recover? And what if we, you know, were to have wonderful leadership and become a godly nation? Well, let's not get into fantasy here, but let's say we could turn things around economically and there is no imminent destruction. Well, then would the Lord's command to come out of Babylon and be separate from her still apply? Absolutely, it would still apply. You know, Jesus taught that he who lies with a prostitute is one with her. Do you really want to be one with the mother of all harlots? Regardless of where you live, whether you're an inhabitant of the United States of America or Venezuela, no matter where you are on earth, do you really want to be tied to a world system, or do you want to be tied in with the Lord? You know, of the increase of his government, there will be no end. He was and he is and he is to come. He just simply is. He is the I am. And so do I want to enter into the eternal nature of who he is and partake of his holiness, or do I want to continue to feast upon the dregs and the pods that are fed to the hogs? You know, I would choose for myself and my family a better diet than that. I would hope that he would be our bread, that he would be our drink, and that we would take on his nature. And so, you know, I think that obviously, you know, I've said many times that the gift of salvation is a free gift. It's offered freely. Jesus paid it all. However, to accept that free gift will cost us everything we have. Mm-hmm. And so we need to empty ourselves. We need to be crucified with him and allow him to take up residence. We need to offer hospitality to him and remove anything that offends.
Well, this is what God wants in all of us. He wants an empty vessel. And we have to empty ourselves of ourselves in order for him to fill us.
I was just sitting here trying to comprehend what David said. In order to receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, it will cost us everything. How can a free gift cost us everything? It doesn't make sense, does it?
It's one of those oxymorons. It's a kingdom paradigm.
Yes, here it is. This is free, but it's going to cost you everything.
I have something I'd like to place into your hands, but in order to put it in your hands, you're going to have to empty your hands first.
Yes.
And that's the whole key, is that most of us have our hands full, but we have to empty them now, because God has more for us, but we have to empty ourselves, empty our hands, forsake all.
It's a pearl of great value.
That's exactly right.
He went and sold everything just to get that pearl.
I like what Leonard Ravenhill used to say. He said, you know, forget there's room at the cross. So there's room on the cross.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us on Strength for the Journey. I'm really excited about what God is doing in each one of our lives, and I know that God wants to do many things in each one of your lives out there, too. Thanks for joining us again. Again, our website is strength with the number 4 thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.